Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, 40 Days of Prayer, was preached by our lead pastor, Paul Smith. It was recorded on January 1st, 2023, and begins our series of the same name.
All right, good morning. There's something right and good about us starting off the new year together, isn't it? Worshiping and looking into the scriptures. So glad that you are here. I'm Paul Smith. I serve on the pastoral staff. And every January for the last 4 years, we have taken time in our sermon series and our focus as a church to focus in on prayer. It's formed from a deep conviction that the church is to be praying. And that when a church prays, God does what only he can do. And when we don't pray, we only get what we can do. And so the world and our lives, our children, our marriages, we need what only God can do. For that reason, Jesus looked at his disciples before he went back into heaven, and he says, you wait, and you pray, and you keep praying, and then I'll send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit moves in a life and in a church, God-like things happen, don't they? And that's what we want, correct? Correct. So that's why we pray. So I ask you to join us in this series of 40 Days of Prayer. Jump in on the Alliance website. There's some great resources there. I'll be speaking in this series and some other speakers, but we take time to commit ourselves and to grow in prayer. We want to get at it today by looking at Psalm 51. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn to Psalm 51. And I don't know if First Alliance is your home church, but make sure you have a church that teaches and preaches the scriptures faithfully. So Psalm 51. And as you're turning there, there'll be no vertical tomorrow night. That'll be picked up on January 9th, okay? So January 9th is when we will pick that up, okay? All right, and that's our time when we gather on Monday night. So January, we will pick that back up. So Psalm 51, let me pray, and then we'll get into the text this morning. So Jesus, it's good to be together, and it's good to look into your scriptures. It's good for us to worship together. After our time in the scriptures, we will have communion together. It's good for us to be reminded that we are kept by the love and the grace of Jesus. And so Holy Spirit, teach us what we do not know. Christ, do in us that work which only you can do, which is heal the wounds that we have that no one sees, and Father, do in us, which we can't do ourselves, which is conform our lives to the image and the person of Jesus Christ. And the church said together, amen. And by the way, thank you for being here. New Year's Day, I didn't know if anybody would be here, so thanks for being here. Psalm 51, the theme is pardon and a pure heart. Pardon and a pure heart. And it might seem strange starting off there, but it will become clear as we go through this text. James Houston said this, "The majority of scripture speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us." And my hope and my desire is that you would take Psalm 51 after today, and you would pray through this psalm every day for the next week, that you would let this psalm and the gospel truths of this psalm be spoken over your life, and pray this over your life every day for the next week. Because Walter Brueggemann said this, Psalm 51 is the boldest prayer that anyone can ever pray. We start here in this series with this prayer because of the bold request that David makes of God because of the situation that David is in. You see, the context of this psalm comes from the title right above verse 1. Look at the context given. It's a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. It's that time in David's life when a man after God's own heart, his heart went wayward. And we know the situation, that not only did the situation with Bathsheba happen, but murder happened, deceit happened, lying happened. One scholar said that 7 of the 10 commandments are broken in David's life consistently over a period of time. David is at his absolute worst. And this is where David's life and our lives connect. Though not specific in details, we all often wondered, God, how am I to speak to you? How am I to relate to you when my heart does not connect with your heart? When our lives and our conscience say, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. What do you do? The Psalms speak to us in that situation. And this is what I know. It's not so much the circumstances of life that matter so much. It's your reactions and responses to the circumstances of life. And this is what we know. In that situation, after David's done hiding, David prays. And if David can pray, we can pray. In any situation, because the grandness of the greatness of the gospel, David prays, and God says, if David can pray, and if I can hear that prayer, I'll hear your prayer too. You see, in this prayer, David has a bold request. A bold request of God, and it's this: restore to me the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit in me. He says that in verse 12. He says, I want joy that is so great that it says in verse 15, my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. He says, there was a time when your hand was heavy upon me and my bones were crushed because of sin, but I, God, do a work in me to where my lips can't hold back. There's so much joy. Imagine a vision of your life in 2023 where your lips just sing the praises of God because a new grace is known. And a willing spirit, and this willing spirit means not only do I know the will of God, I want the will of God more than anything else. You see, as 2023 is upon us, you don't so much need a new year, but you need a vibrant relationship with a God who can make all things new. And he can take the missteps, the mistakes, the mishaps, the sin, and says, I can use those. We can transform them. I'm a God who can make all things new. That's the bold request. And then there's a bold belief, and it's this theme of this whole message, and it's verse 17. Oh, my God, the sacrifices, oh God, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart you will not despise. You see, there's no animal sacrifice sufficient for David. There's nothing, nothing for, and there's, he says, save me from blood guilt in this text. You see, basically, his life, death was hanging over his life because of his only hope is God. So in this bold request, what is this broken spirit? What is this contrite heart that God will not despise, that when we know it and when we experience this gospel, it allows joy to our hearts and we sing again? Well, there's three words. Three phrases. Number one, we come clean, we cast upon, and we cry out. We come clean, we cast upon, and we cry out. And I'll lead you through these three statements in this text. First of all, David comes clean. No excuses. He stops playing games. No facade. All gospel change starts here. One point in the text, he says, I've done evil in your sight. He calls a spade a spade. It gets clear at the end of verse 1. He says, blot out all my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from all my sins. He tumbles into verse 2. Sins, missing the mark. God says, here's the target. I go there. I miss the mark. Transgressions, it's in essence trespassing. I went to places I should have never gone. Not mistakenly, but I with a sense of like, I don't care what the sign says. I'm going to go there. And this word iniquity, it's twice in this text. It's something deep within David, he says. This phrase iniquity is something deep within me that wants to be my own God and go my own way, do my own thing. Here's what we know. All gospel change starts here. But you were never intended to stay here. It starts here. When we come face to face with all the missteps, all the mishaps, all the sin, that's where gospel change starts. But we quickly have to tumble to the next one. After we come clean, we cry out. We cast ourselves upon the mercies of a covenant keeping God. This is what David does in verse 1. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Mercy, God's ministry to the miserable. Unfailing love, love that will not fail. And not just compassion, great compassion. And he goes all the way back to God's covenant made with the people of Israel and Moses. At that time when God revealed himself, and Moses makes this request, show me your glory. And God says, no one can see my glory and live. But he says, I will make my glory pass in front of you, all of my characteristics, all of who I am. And he says, and he passed in front of Moses, and the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And God, David appeals to God's covenant love for his people. And so do we. In just a little bit, we'll be taking communion. And our relationship with God, our God's love for us, is not bound to us based on emotions or convenience, but it is bound to us in covenant. You see, Jesus comes and he says, now the relationship with God is covenantal love. It's a relationship in my blood. And God loves us and forgives us out of love and faithfulness to his Son. And so we cast ourselves upon the mercies of a covenant-keeping God. And lastly, it's this. He cries out. He cries out for a miracle within him that only God can do. In this text, he says this in verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And that word create is bara. No human can bara. Only God can bara. It goes all the way back in Genesis where there's nothing. God creates something. He says, God, do in me something absolutely brand new. Do in me that which only you can do. And then in verse 9, he says, blot out all my iniquity. He says, all that iniquity, if it was on a board, you just take, just blot it out. Have it go away. And one scholar said that when God were to blot it out, it's back, basically, if you were to come back to him, he would never say, well, there you go, you did that again. God would never say that. And he says, verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop, and then I will be clean. And verse 6, he says, surely you desire truth in the inward parts. Teach me wisdom in my inmost places. But the problem is this in verse 5, surely I was sinful since birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Now, he's not saying the act of conception was sinful, but this is what he's saying. I've looked at my whole life. And my whole life I've had this waywardness. My whole life I've had this disposition to do my own thing, to go my own way. And yet you desire truth in the inward parts. And I've been this like this since birth. And this is where Jesus comes in. Because there was a time when Jesus meets Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, whole life in keeping the whole law. And he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, you need a new birth. We need a new birth. We need to be made new on the inside. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God sees us in all of our Psalm 51 waywardness and all of the times when we blow it and all the misgivings and all the times when our hearts don't follow God's hearts. And God says Jesus is the answer because God can make us brand new on the inside to where he can move us to where we want to obey his laws. We want to follow his will. And he places his spirit within us. One scholar said, there are 11 requests of David in this text. All 11 are met in the person of Jesus. But there still was a sacrifice needed for David's sin. God just can't look over David's sin and he can't look over our sin. You see, in Jerusalem, where David had all of these crimes committed, in Jerusalem, that very city, there would be the son of David who would come and he would be the perfect sacrifice for David. He would be sacrificed outside the city on a cross. And at that time, there would be a sufficient sacrifice, not only for David, but for you. You see, the gospel explodes in our hearts when we realize that God has done it. God has made a way. God has provided forgiveness. God provides, when we look into the gospel, that which we need to have this willing spirit and rejoice in our salvation. Her name was Charlotte Elliott. And you can see the time frame in which she lived. She became a Christian at a very young age. And yet her whole life, she struggled to truly believe God's forgiveness and love for her. She struggled that because of her own waywardness, she wondered, God, how can you still love me? How can I know your love? Love was just something out there, but never knew her love personally. Until one day it happened. She was in Psalm 51. And spending time in Psalm 51, she grabbed a pen and she penned these words. Just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, just as I am. And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, just as I am. Though tossed about with many conflicts, many doubts, fighting fears within, without, just as I am. Poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of mind, ye, all I need, in thee I find, just as I am. Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because of thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. And is that where we need to start this year? Where we start this year saying, God, you are rich in mercies and grace. And we start at the gospel that we have waywardness within. And God says, I've paid the price for the waywardness within. Cast yourselves on the mercies and grace of my son every day. We never move away from the 51st Psalm. We live in this Psalm until the truth that David knew, we know, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. May that be our prayer in this upcoming year. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together for worship. Father God, we praise you, we worship you, we treasure you. And the gospel is the brightest when the moments in our hearts are the darkest. And so, Father, we come, we believe, and we trust. And so for wherever you're at today, if it's cry out, cast upon, or come clean, use this moment to throw your life on the greatness of the gospel. To the glory of Jesus, and the church said together, Amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, our mission is to passionately pursue God, extend life-changing hope, and disciple people to be Spirit-empowered followers of Jesus. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.